Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Dr. Bessie here at the round table. I am so busy trying to find. Here it is. Oh, God. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Interesting Saturday morning. Trying to find my studio here. Here we go. Now we're ready to go. Let's see. I hope that you can hear me clearly out there without any noise. Let's go to, before we get started, let's see if I can find Cynthia here. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Am I coming across clear or is it static?
Absolutely. Just coming across just fine.
Okay, good. I'm hearing some static on my end. Just wanted to make sure it was not coming through the total radio program. So how are you this morning?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much.
Good, good. This morning, Frida will not be with us. She may pop in and out. She's in travel, on travel. Would you like to do the honors of giving us a prayer this morning?
Absolutely, absolutely. Dear Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We come thanking you once again for giving us such an awesome task to be a voice, to be a message, and to put out there things that would change the lives of your people. Father God, we know that you're able and we're able to trust you in it all. We thank you for this task. I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing on a Saturday morning than to be able to talk about what you would have us to give to your people. But, Father God, people are thirsty, people are hungry, people are fearful of what's to come. But, Father God, I pray this morning that people will allow life to happen as you would allow it to happen. We don't have to understand it all. We just have to be able to receive and keep moving forward, trusting you in it all. So, Father God, we thank you for mothers and daughters. We thank you for obedience of Dr. Fletcher and continuing to do the task that you put before her. It is my pleasure to be part of such an awesome task. We thank you for Frida. We ask you for traveling grace. And as we go about this morning, we ask that you about you and not about our opinions, but about what you would have us to share. So, Father God, we love you. We thank you. And as we continue to move forward, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much this morning. I'll get back with you in a little bit.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Good morning. Good morning. Yes. And thank you, Cynthia, for such a beautiful prayer. And it is an honor and it is a pleasure to be able to serve you, Father, to get up on Saturday morning. You know, this whole program, the Mother and Daughter Roundtables, are just a walk of faith. It is such a walk of faith that it's on the internet and the possibilities of who can listen, who are listening, can be staggering, because the internet goes throughout, basically reaching every point of the world. And there's no telling who is picking up on what we are saying. I do believe that the Holy Spirit lead and guide us, and He lead and guide our words. The Spirit that God put upon us, and He will take it to the people that need to hear it. As we share the lessons that God teach us during the week, you know, I come in and I tell you, I said, on Saturday mornings, the only thing I can share with you is what I've learned, the things that the Holy Spirit has talked to me about. And we all can do this. We all can share one way or the other. Some people write books. Some people have meetings. Some people, you know, do telephone conferencing, web seminars, whatever. They come to share their message by whatever way that they feel is comfortable for them. So when we come on the radio. We come by doing the mother and daughter conferences. We come by teaching different courses, doing counseling. You name it, we have a group of women that come from different walks of life, different stories to tell, and we bring them all under one umbrella so that we can have a smorgasbord of services and teachings that will meet a variety of needs, because there's no one person can actually cover everything that a person needs. So I'm grateful, and this morning I say thank you to all the women that have joined forces with us, that have seen the vision and really know that they can, we can all come together and do what God has asked us to do individually and put it all together collectively so that we can provide a stronger meal for the persons or the people that we're serving. Even though our appointed person is mother, is the mother and daughter, it affects the father and son. Because the one thing we have to realize is that just like no one can get to God except through the Father, no one can get on this earth except through the Mother. That's just the way it is. So when we get that and we realize that it's going to take the Mother in order for a spirit to transform from God into the earthen realm, there's no other way that that spirit is going to enter the working realm. Like there's no other way that you can get to God except through Jesus. So think about that. Just think about that for a moment, and you'll see, and you'll feel something. You should feel like a, oh, wow, yeah, that's pretty deep. Think about it. So that's why we get up on Saturday morning. We get it. We get what God is saying to us. We get it. We just want to be able to deliver it the way that He told us to deliver it, and that it be effective, you know, take ourselves out the way so that we can allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. A lot of times we say, yeah, we're willing, but then we want to tweak it, we want to change it a little bit, you know, we want to add a little bit of us because we think we're so smart, we're so intelligent, that we can add a little piece to it to give it that little twist. Well, you know, that little piece is a piece from the world, because we mainly look at what would the person want to hear, how would they want to deliver it. Most people are doing it this way. When I hear somebody say, well, you know, the trend is that most people are doing it this way, then that just let me know you're focusing on the world. And I have to catch myself. You know, just because they're doing it that way, the Holy Spirit doesn't do it that way. It's going to be something totally different. It's not going to look like, it's not going to taste like, it's not going to smell like what everybody else is doing. You will look very strange when you're working with the Holy Spirit, because it's that, my way is not the way of the world. And if you can see it in the world, then you know it's not the Holy Spirit, because you don't know what He's going to do and how He's going to do it before it's done. So that's one little hint to you. If you see it, everybody's doing it, because the Holy Spirit brings out the uniqueness in you. There's a will in you that nobody else has. And if your will and another person's will be similar, will not be identical. That'll go against the grain of individuality, the uniqueness. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different assignment. And even though we might be doing similar things, there's a twist to it that nobody can do it but you, the way that you do it. So that brings in, I was talking to someone yesterday about jealousy. I said there's no reason, in fact it was Frieda and I last night, there's no reason for a person to be jealous of anybody. And reason why? Because he has two different assignments. Why would you be jealous of somebody else in their assignment? That's not your assignment. That's their assignment. And you're not assigned to do it. So why would you want to emulate what somebody else is doing? Look within yourself. Seek God for yourself and find out what is it that I'm supposed to do, because whatever that is, it is so unique, and it was programmed in you before the beginning of time. That's the role you are to play. That's the part that brings totality to the total being of the body of Christ. You have got to be able to identify what is my role, what am I here for, and do that. You don't want to leave here with your part undone and somebody else got to come in, do their part and yours. How lazy is that? So with that being said, get on the phones, you know, text and please don't text and drive, as they could say, but if you are on the phone, you can listen to me and you can text your girlfriends or any female that you may say, well, I text Mary, but Mary doesn't have a daughter. Well, Mary is a daughter. Every woman is a daughter, and she has her own mother and daughter story. And they can call in at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. And click 1 if you would like to add your comments to the conversation this morning. Again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. We are talking this morning about the examination of a mother's mind. That's right, the examination of a mother's mind. Again, I'm Dr. Bessie, and I'm your host here on Blog Talk Radio with mothers and daughters around the world. When we're talking about, before I get into the topic, I want to just make an announcement today that I'll be speaking in Reidsville this afternoon, and the reason I'm saying this, I did not get the I have the address, but I didn't bring it here in front of me. I'm not in my normal spot, but it's an interesting topic for this conference this afternoon. It's called the Queen's Court, and I'll try to get you that address before I get off. I'll look back in my notes. The Queen's Court. And I thought, wow, how fitting is that? So you can take that a number of different ways. The court where several queens are marched in and seated, being seated in their appropriate places, or a court that rules against the queen. Can there be such a thing? But this Queen Court is about your position as a queen, as a woman, to be treated as a queen, to know that you're a queen, and what are your rights as a queen, because God is the king. So I am excited about going to speak with them this afternoon, this evening, from 6 to 8. It's in Reidsville. It's at actually the International Business College. It's there at their particular school. And so we're going to bring about some discussion about being a queen and what does that look like and feel like, and what do you have to do to hold your position and to keep that position and be able to pass that on to your daughters. So think about that and what that means, and ask yourself, what is on my mind? How do I feel about my position as a queen? I'll give you something to think about as we go through our topics today, examining the mind of a mother. A few weeks ago, we talked about the faith of a mother, and then we talked about getting to a healthy mother and daughter relationship for the last couple of weeks, part one and part two. And that brings us to our topic this week, the examination of a mother's mind. And as usual, when I'm up and moving around and, you know, I'm usually fixing my coffee or fixing some toast and thinking, and, you know, I always, when I get up, when I get to thanking God for the day and waking me up, I usually say, well, Holy Spirit, what are we talking about today? And then I'll go on about my business, and eventually he'll tell me. So when he said this morning, he shut down examination of a mother's mind. And I said, wow, I said, that's deep. And, of course, I heard the Holy Spirit said to me, I'm always deep. And I laughed and said, you are. you are deep. That's deep. The examination of a mother's mind. And I'm thinking, how deep can we go with that? And things started popping up. The examination of a mother's mind. Who can examine a mother's mind? Think about that. The only person that can examine a mother's mind is that mother. No one can examine your mind but you. As a mother, I'm saying this morning, we want you to think about, when was the last time that you sat down and actually spent time with you and examined your mind? That's the key element to all that you do. When the mind is not functioning, the body is out of order. Wherever the mind goes, the behind is going to follow. That's the way it is. The body has no power or authority to move unless it gets the agreement from the mind. So when you're talking about examining your mind, you can't just examine your mind by just driving in the car or walking along. You may think that you're doing that. But when you take an exam, you're usually sitting down in a chair at a table with a pen and a piece of paper, and there are several questions. And you answer those questions. And when you finish, you give that questionnaire, most people call it a test or an exam, you give it to the instructor. The instructor then will look at it, read over what you've answered to the questions that she's given you, because she's examining your mind for information that she taught you, not how your mind is functioning. She just want to know if you got anything out of what she taught you. So when it comes to that class, she can examine you to find out, did you understand when I spoke on this particular topic? What did you get from that? So you're going to pull out of your subconscious mind, your memory, whatever you can remember that she said in that particular area. So the easiest way to examine your mind is to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and allow yourself just to meditate on your words, on your thoughts, on your vision, and on what you have experienced in your life. And when you get through with all of that, if you don't like where you are, then you simply change. You change your words, which will change your thoughts, which will change your vision, which will change your life experience. So all of that comes from renewing your mind, being able to change what you say to change what you feel and what you experience in life. It's that simple. The problem is that most mothers will say, I am so busy. I don't have time to sit and meditate. How many times have I heard my clients say that? I said, Fletcher, I don't have time to sit and meditate. I have so many things to do. And I'm thinking, you don't have time to sit and meditate. But you sit and watch a movie. You go to the movies and sit for 2 hours and watch a movie and pay to watch the movie. You will pay somebody to sit down for 2 hours and watch something that came out of their mind. But yet you don't have time to freely sit and spend time within your own mind, your own thoughts, your own vision. Wow. Think about that. For those of you that have been, you know, following us for the last 6 years, and on Saturday mornings, we talk about the mind. Everything that we do is based on renewing the mind. And over the years, we talk about how to manage your intro conversation. Those are those ongoing conversations in your head. How do you manage those? How do you manage those conversations to change your experiences in life? How to mind your mind? Because how do I mind my mind? I'm minding your business. Don't let people come in and deposit their negative thoughts, their negative words, their negative attitude into your mind. Because the mind is like a sponge. The subconscious mind just takes in everything. It doesn't know whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. Whatever it hears, it will record it and it will hold on to it for dear life. So you have to be particular on who you're around, the conversations you're involved in, the television shows that you listen to, the radio programs that you listen to, or just people on the street. When you hear something, your mind zaps it, takes it in, and you hear yourself saying that over and over again, especially music. You know, a song will get into your mind. You could just be walking past and somebody pass you on the way, and you hear the music. And that song will just go on and on and on and on. You're like, oh, my goodness. You think you got rid of it. You're at home. You're fixing dinner, and you find yourself singing that song. That's how easily information can be transferred into your subconscious mind. It can be picked up at a split second. And you got to know how to get rid of those things out of your mind. And it takes meditation. It takes actually writing things down to get it out. And then we talk about how the subconscious and the conscious and the subconscious mind work. You know, when you're talking about your subconscious mind, like I said, it's a sponge. It takes in all, everything that it hears. Everything that you see is recorded. Your conscious mind is that mind, that's that intro conversation. That's where you have all these conversations. You're battling back and forth and trying to make a decision, and you got conflict, and you got your conversation and your thoughts, and you got the person that you talk to, you got to have their thoughts, and then they go tell their friend, and they come back and say, yeah, I talked to my friend, and she said she thought, and then all of a sudden you say, well, okay, now you got 10 people, you got 10 intro conversations going on in your head. You're so confused, you don't even know what to do. You said, you don't even know the original thought. It is so mixed in with so many opinions. That's why I tell my clients, look, before you get into a lot of conversations, sometimes you just have to keep your mouth closed. Work it out with God. Meditate. Talk to the Holy Spirit about it before you go tell anybody. Because it's very hard to tell somebody something and they keep it. I don't care who they are. Most of the time, oh, well, you know, don't worry about me. But then they say, oh, well, I tell my girlfriend because I know she won't tell anybody. And then she says, well, I tell my girlfriend because I know she won't tell anybody. But then by the time you get through, you got 15 people, and they're all telling their girlfriends because they know that their girlfriend, I can trust her. She's not going to tell anybody. But look how many people are telling their best girlfriend. And you thought that was your best girlfriend. Come on now. So then we talked about how to quiet your mind and how you can hear God. You can't hear God with a lot of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. A sound mind, he said, I give you. So if you have a lot of chatter, you have a lot of intro conversations going over and over and over, and you're so confused, you need to stop. You need to meditate. so that you can hear what God is saying to you. And then we talked about how to use the words of God to become more Christ-like. The only way you're going to become more like Christ and the ways that he has demonstrated to us is that you have got to understand the words. You've got to understand that words have power and that you've been given the power and dominion over the earth. So, if you speak a word, it's going to happen. And I know sometimes people say, well, are you saved? Because if you're saved, then, you know, of course, you have the same powers and authorities as Christ has. But think about it. God said it rains on the just as it does on the unjust. Still have power. You can use a negative word. It's going to fulfill the intent in which you meant by that word. Whether you save or not, there's not a rule that you save the word work, and if you're not saved, the word doesn't work. Because think about it. You didn't create a word. Every word that there is was created by God. Man has never created a word, so you own no word. And every word has a meaning, the intent of the word. It will, once you say it, it's like a bullet. It will fire out of your mouth. It will hit the intended target with the intent in which you meant to send it. It's not going to change the intent between coming out of your mouth and hitting the intended target, because it doesn't have the power to change. Once you send it, you have the power and the intent, and you sent it out. A lot of times people will say, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I really didn't mean it. No, you took it wrong. No, it was meant the way that you send it. You could try to change it all you want to. But a person knows when you mean harm. They know when you say in words to hurt them. And once you said it, then you want to take it back. But you can't take it back. Once the word is gone, it's gone. You cannot take that word back. And it will hit that target. If it's your daughter, it's going to hurt her feelings. Or if it's your mother, it's going to hurt her feelings. It could be your husband or your son. It could be your neighbor. It could be someone you're working with. It could be someone that you just see in a store. You say something nasty. You hurt their feelings. You can apologize, but you cannot take it back. So when you're in the process of examining your mind, the first thing you might want to think about, how am I using the words that come out of my mouth? Am I taking the time to think before I speak? Now, if you remember in school, you probably had a teacher that said, you need to start thinking before you speak. Your mother, you need to start thinking before you speak. You just can't say any word and think you can get by with it. You say, well, what does that mean? I'm thinking before I speak. I meant to say that. Yeah, but you feel bad once you said it. You can't take it back. And sometimes one word can change and alter the relationship of friends, mothers and daughters, colleagues, and never get back on track. Because she can't take the words back. You can start a renewed relationship. You both can say, okay, I forgive you. But in that subconscious mind, it still holds the word and the intent of the word and the feeling you got from the word. That's still found. It's not going anywhere. That's why when you see a person that you have not seen in years, and the last time you saw them, it was not a pleasant feeling. That feeling will come back up as if it was as if it just happened 2 or 3 minutes ago. Because it was filed, it was cataloged. Nothing changed about that feeling. So over the past 6 years, you know, 7 years, December 10th this year, those are some of the topics we've talked about, renewing the mind of the mother and daughter to help them create a healthy mother and daughter relationship and to promote healthy families. That's our only purpose. And like I said, if we can touch one mother or one daughter or one mother and daughter, my God, that's sufficient. That's sufficient for me. Actually touch a person and say something that moves them into a healthier relationship, a more loving relationship, that's going to be a generational effect. Because if that mother renews her mind, she apologizes to her daughter, they start building a new relationship, that daughter is going to be able to transfer and take that feeling, that new learning, into her relationship with her daughter or her son. So now you've got the next generation. And by the time you get to the next generation, which is the third generation, they may not even know anything about the conflict between the mother and daughter from the first generation because it was corrected. So you can correct whatever relationship you have with your daughter right now, mother. You can't erase it, but you can correct it. And you can start building a better relationship, a better memory. You can cover those old memories with new and refreshed, healthy, loving memories. Therefore, she's going to remember that with her children. She's going to remember that you all corrected it. So now she's not going to even try to do that because she knows that's the past. Now I'm going to share the good with my daughter. These are the good things that my mother and I shared. By the time her daughter has her family, which is now moving into the fourth generation, those memories are gone. Usually the grandmother's out of here. So all you're going to remember when somebody dies, they don't want to remember the bad things. I don't care how bad a person was. You know, you can go to the funeral and they'll talk about the person as if the person was a saint. They'll forget all the bad things they've done because nobody wants to talk about anybody bad at a funeral, so they're going to try to, if they'll make up something, it's the only thing good. So just imagine that the mother and daughter changed their relationship and they started living and had this wonderful relationship. Now the grandmother's gone. That second generation, now she's a grandmother. By the time she look at her grandchildren, you know, they have repaired and there's no recollection of those things unless someone decides to go back and dig it up. Most people are not trying to do that. So now you're renewing the mind of the next two or three generations, creating a healthier family. That's how we do it. That's how we raise up a whole new generation, by starting all over again. From the beginning of creation of man and woman, it has been shown that the power of effect comes from the mind. And the mind is the power source which determines the result of the effects on the body and all its members. And the members of the body, that's your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your bladder, your bones, your muscle, your blood, you know, your teeth, your eyes. Everything that makes up this body are called the members. And depending on how you mind your mind, you know, if you allow yourself to be stressful, it's going to wear down your heart. You're going to start having problems with your blood, high blood pressure, low blood pressure. Diabetes come in. See, because you're not minding your mind, you're allowing your mind to accept words that really is not supposed to be applied to you, especially if you're a child of God. You know, my mother had diabetes, so I have diabetes. Okay, there you go. Now you have diabetes. So I'm saying to you is that in order to mind your mind, you've got to decide, I'm going to protect the members of my body by thinking good thoughts, saying good words. The mind, which is called, you know, sometimes they call the mind different things, and I'm going to move on past this. But I want to explain that the mind, which is called the brain. Some people call it intelligence. Some people call it psychic, you know, and a lot of times people can relate to it as a computer. It's pretty much like a computer. And so that's what I want to just kind of pull out for you, because most people can relate to that. The mind is it's cognitive. It has cognitive faculties. It includes your consciousness, your perception, your thinking, your judgment, your memory. All of that comes out of your mind. It is the faculty of a human being reasoning. How do you reason? How do you break through? How do you think? That's where the examination come in at. If you are depressed, if you are sitting around using substance because you think that is your key, that is the way that you can get past whatever you're going through, you need to re-examine your mind. Look at what you think you're using that is helping you. Examine that. See how that will affect your mind. Look at, am I spending time with God? Am I reading the Word? Am I using the Word to promote me, to promote me to move closer to Christ-like thinking? Or am I using the words of the world? It is a time now that if we don't stop and examine who we are, then we may end up anywhere doing anything. You can't continue doing the same thing looking for a different result. It's not going to happen. You've got to stop and you've got to take inventory. You've got to examine who you are. And Mother, God is dependent on you to do that. He gave you a spirit housed in a body and asked you to deliver that body into the world. Some people do deliver it, some people don't. Some people decide, well, I'm going to have an abortion. I'm not going to do it. You have a will. You can do it if you want to do it, or you don't have to do it. But he's asking you to do it. But not only is he asking you to deliver the spirit into the earthly realm, he's asking you to raise that spirit according to his word. Now, when you think back on Mary, Mary says, how can that be? When the angel said to her, you're going to have a baby. How can that be? I've never had a man. Come on. Yeah, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit is going to insert a spirit inside of you. You're going to have a baby. You're going to call him Jesus. You know, that's a lot in itself just to conceive. You know, you didn't have a relationship with a man, but yet you're pregnant. You see, so she was asked to raise that baby according to the will of God, to seek God. She knew from the very beginning he had a reason, a purpose, an intent to enter into the earthly realm. And that's what we have to do, mothers. We have to know that we're asked to deliver the child into the earthly realm. But there's a reason, there's a purpose for each child into the earthly realm. God has a job for them to do. But until you understand who you are and what your purpose is, you can't teach people anything that you don't know. You can't teach your children about purpose, about God, if you don't have a relationship with them. Think about it. If your child is taking a course, and you say, I can't even have a child with algebra because I don't even know algebra. So then you go out and you find somebody to help them. That's why most of the time she takes the child to church, because she feels, well, the preacher will teach them. No, God is looking for you to take the responsibility. And that's where I'm going to stop. Your mind is like a computer. And when the computer gets slow and bogged down and you can't get it to work properly, the first thing you'll do is take it to the computer geek. I love them. Go in there, they know what to do, they love the challenge, they're going to tweak it, twist it, and they're going to make it work. And it's like, nothing that's going to get past me. And then you get your computer running again. Oh, you're happy. Well, what about the computer of your mind? You got to go to Christ. You got to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. You got to use the Word of God. That's why Christ was so successful. He didn't try to adjust his mind. He didn't try to get somebody else to fix it. He says, I'm going to do exactly what the Father said, and I'm going to do exactly what he asked me to do. So therefore, the success was in following the instructions. So, are you following the instructions, Mother? That's the question. That'll get you started on renewing your mind by first examining, am I following what God has asked me to do? All right, I'm going to go to Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm good. You're there?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I can hear you. We're talking about the examination of the mind. As I was speaking, I was thinking about, you know, of course, you're an instructor. I'm a counselor. And I was thinking, wow, this is, you know, Cynthia can relate to this very easily, because when you give your students a test and you're examining them, you're not examining them to make them fail or to show them how less they know. You just want to make sure that they receive at least a good portion of what you're teaching them. So when the Holy Spirit was telling me about examining, mothers examining their minds, I was like, wow, that is deep. Because that's something that really I never really thought about it from that perspective. That we do have to take inventory of our own mind. We have to examine it. Otherwise, we don't know what we know at the length or the extent that we know it. Does that make sense? I'm trying to.
From an educational perspective, learning is always about examining and making connections. But what you already know, if you do not examine your thought processes with what you already know, when new information is introduced to you and you're struggling to understand it, if you learn to make connections with what you already know, and that's the examining part, you will always gain an understanding of the new material. And I shared this with the audience last week about Socrates. Ancient philosopher. I called them artists last week, so forgive me for that, but a philosopher is a kind of artist because of the way that he thinks. And so he said that an unexamined life is not worth living. He also claimed that only in striving to come to know ourselves and to understand ourselves do our lives have any meaning or value.
Mm-hmm.
When we do not take the time to reflect, we fail in so many ways, because you will never know your position. You will never know who you are and whose you are in the absence of reflection. So examining the mind is another way of reflecting on what you think you know. God has already given you, because God has constantly given us wisdom and knowledge. And so when we refuse to reflect on those things, we do ourselves a disservice. And if you have children, how are you going to teach them to think and reflect when you don't even know the importance of reflecting yourselves? One of the things I did with my children as they were growing up, go to church on Sunday, and I would always ask them after church, I would always call them to a state of reflection. When we got in that car, I always asked them, what did you learn? Because I always want them to be cognizant of the fact that you are there to learn. So they got to the point of writing, my oldest one anyway, Brian was always the rebellious one. But they got to the point of knowing that I was going to ask questions, so they were always reflecting. it is so important that we teach our children, mothers, to reflect and to spend that time. Because if it's not, because it's a process. You don't just automatically start reflecting. It's a learned behavior. It's a learned habit of reflecting. Just like when you go to school, you sit down to study. When you are looking to know your position in life, you have to sit down and reflect, because God is the only one that can give us the answers as to who we are and what it is that we're here to do, because that's our position. If that makes sense to you, Dr. Fletcher.
That makes sense. You know, I was thinking while you were talking there, when I tell my clients, you can start all over again, you can start where you are. A lot of times people say, how can I do that? I've made such a mess of my past. I mean, you know, right now my daughter's not speaking to me. Right now, you know, my mother's not speaking to me, or whatever the situation may be. But in reflection, when you were saying reflection, it just came up in my mind that, and I say start all over again, for a mother, you know, I tell them, you know, if you and your daughter right now are in a difficult situation as far as being able to communicate effectively, just write down all the things that you've done in the past, not all, but several things that you've done in the past where you laughed, you had fun, and, you know, it was just beautiful moments, even if she was two or three. And when you sit and talk to that daughter or that or your mother, some noise right there. Let me put you on hold, Cynthia. I think I got some noise going on. But if you sit and you talk to your mother or daughter and just bring up those things where you used to laugh and you had fun, what you want to do is take the things that are now on the surface that are not comfortable or really the main items of concentration, you want to reverse it, flip it over, and take the things that you've done when they were children and where you were laughing and bring that up. Talk about those things. Don't talk about the negative things. Talk about all the things that you've done that was fun, that where you laugh and you talk, and then that's going to renew their minds of who you really were or who you are. And that will override a lot of the negative things and reset the clock of the mind in the memory area. So therefore now you've got something nice to talk about. You got something when you go out. Remember when we used to go and you was riding the pony and it was so funny, you know, how you'd hold on to me and you trusted me and I was holding on to you and we were laughing and as you was riding the Ferris wheel or whatever it may be, or just think of the fun things that you used to laugh about. Bring those back to the front of the memory. And that will suppress a lot of the negative and start building from there. Create new fun memories. Reestablish the old fun memories and then start creating similar things that you've done in the past that they like to do. Don't even try to explain it. Don't even try to justify it. That when you're renewing your mind and you're examining your mind, go back in there and find the good time. That will bring back that energy. Don't let somebody else examine your mind and determine your score. You do that, and you decide, I'm not going to have a 67 with my mother or my daughter. I'm going to bring that thing up. I'm going to bring it up to a 77, and then I'm going to work on 85, and then I'm going to work on a 90, and I'm going to get that thing on up there until it gets about 97. You know, you're not looking for the perfect 100. You want to have that. Don't focus on it. Just say, I'm going to get it as high and as close to 100% as I possibly can. I will always be working on what is it that we can do that will bring back fond memories into our hearts. That's a part of your examination, mother. So when you examine in your heart, examine the good things. Because people can see, it's hard for a negative and a positive to be in the same place at the same time. So if you keep thinking on negative things, it's just going to be negative, negative, negative. If you keep letting people remind you of the negative things, then you're going to stay in a negative state of mind. Re-examine your mind. Go back when it was the good time and reinstate the good time. So now, no matter what nobody says, they don't have power and control over your mind. You do. No one has the right to condemn you. God won't do it, and no one else has the right to do it. That's why he gave you a free choice. You can choose to be who somebody says you are, or you can choose to be who God says that you are. And through Christ, we're perfect beings. So you think about that. You've got to know who you are in Christ in order to examine yourself properly and then recreate that person or be that person that God created you to be. That's what you should come out with your examination. In the meantime, daughters, if you're having a problem with your mother, then you do the same thing. You look at the times when you're having good times and bring that to the forefront. So that's my take on it today. And anybody else want to add their comments, click 1. We'll be glad to hear what you have to say, because it's all about helping each other to just get that aha moment when you say, wow, I never thought about it like that. All right, Cynthia?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's my take on it. I had to just kind of go out just a little bit. Do you have anything you want to say, any final words?
No, that's pretty much what I had to share on the conversation, other than the fact, you know, there are some questions that we should always be asking ourselves. And I learned this when I was going to school to become a therapist, but God had other plans. And I'm an instructor, and I did not become that therapist. But those questions like, who am I? What is my purpose? Those are two questions that you should always. I am a seeker, and God said if we ask, he will give us. And so I'm always asking God these questions. I want to know 3 things. Is he pleased with me? I want to know who am I, and I want to know who am I to become. And if I don't ask him these questions, I don't know where I'm going. I'm lost. Because we live in cycles. We all have our cycles, and change comes at the point of those cycles. So you got to always know, who am I to become, and who am I in the moment, and why am I here? So those are the 3 questions I'm always asking, and definitely the 4th one is the one that I throw in there. Daddy, are you pleased with where I am right now? And are you pleased with what I'm doing right now? I'm always examining because I don't want to miss this. I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. And I don't want to do it outside of his will, because we have permissive will. And so I'm always asking these questions because I know my cycle. Most people don't know their cycle. So when I'm moving towards my cycle of change and I know that change is coming, I need to be prepared because I need to know where I'm going. But if I never ask him these questions, I don't know my position, and I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know who I am in that moment, because we do change. Life is a constant change. That's the only thing that's constant.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for allowing me to share.
And that's why he said to ask. That's a part of the examination. You've got to ask. Who knows the answer? The Holy Spirit. You can't ask me about what's going on in your life because I have no idea. You got to ask the person that created you, that has the plan. You see some visions,
but
you show us some
things. It's so easy to get in the habit of wanting people to tell us what to do. And so when we don't have a relationship with God ourselves, we seek other people to point us in a direction. but that may not even be what God has planned for us. It may not even fit our personality. So why go to man when you can go to the Creator who created you? Because only He knows your purpose and what it is that He would have you to do.
Right, that's what I was just saying. That's why you have to ask. And you can't ask me. You have to ask God. He created you. He's the only one who knows the plan that He designed you for. So He's the only one that has the answer. And He will speak through the Holy Spirit and tell you. And then you got to speak. You got to speak by just going through and looking at His word and reading it and examining it. And then you ask again, what does that mean to get discernment? You want to get wisdom. You want to get understanding. And then you got to knock. You know, I'm going to knock on this door and it's going to open. It sounds simple, but it's the thing that people do not do. They don't want to do it. They'll do one. They don't want to do all three. They simply feel like I get that at church. The pastor's going to tell me what I'm supposed to do, and I can put the Bible in the back seat of the car and pick it up when we get to church next Sunday. So, you know, in this examination, we strongly, strongly, strongly urge you to seek and ask the question. That's how I got on my journey. I was asking the question, why am I here? What is my purpose? Because I figured,
God tells us we have not because we ask not.
Right. And if you don't ask, you're not going to get an answer. He's not going to just walk up to you and say, well, you know, this is why I created. No, He wants you to come to Him and ask. Because He's not going to impose Himself upon you. So with that being said, that brings us to just about the end of the show. And I just wanted to just reflect just a little bit to say, ask the question, why am I here? And wait on the answer. And you're going to get, you're going to get the answer. If you ask, you're going to get the answer. When I ask, I thought it took me 6 months to get the answer. I had the answer. I just was asking over and over again. It seemed like it was a long time. This was in 1982. And God said, I sent you here to teach my people how I communicate with them. And I do it one or two ways. I do it through man or through the intra-conversation. That's how I came up with that. That's how I got it. It was given to me in 1982, the intra conversation. And I've been on it ever since. I had to look it up to find out. It wasn't enter. It was intra, I-N-T-R-A. It was unfamiliar to me at the time. It's that ongoing conversation in your head. I was sent here to study psychology. From a little child, I would talk to my friends. They would always ask me for advice, and I always had the answer. I always thought, it didn't seem like I had an answer, but go away and say, oh, that really worked. And all my life, I had this discernment because I was on my course from 5, I can remember. But I finally said in 1982, I am so tired of going to work every day, coming home, cooking, cleaning, looking at not landing, Dallas, and getting up the next morning going back to work. What is my purpose? So if you're at that point, you need to ask the question. Hold on, I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. You have a good week. Remember, take the time to examine your mind. No one else is going to do it for you, not even God. You have a blessed week. Bye-bye.